When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and today's topic is our topic today is on serial killers Otis Toole and Henry Lee Lucas. They were friends, serial killers, lovers, and probably their most famous victim was young Adam Walsh. So we're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about Otis and Henry Lee. But first, let me introduce our panel. We have with us the very delightful, very faithful, gentle, happy, and jolly brown hair beauty, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy? I have a list of adjectives.
None of those things.
I don't like any of that. Jolly makes me sound like Santa Claus.
But how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And we're joined, as always, with the chubby.
What the hell?
Hollow and
soulless.
Soulless and the
void of life.
Teeny tiny. Oh. The Honorable Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing very well today, Timmy. Thank you. And I would like to ask our listeners, when you leave some comments, would you please just once in a while mention the devil over here, or maybe Timmy? Because everybody always says, "Oh, I love the Colonel," and they're getting—you can tell, you can hear it coming out of their voices. They're getting a little petty, a little envious. A little
we
jealous.
Had some very nice comments on iTunes, and it was. Do you remember the name of the?
We had Erin the Queen. Now she left a very, very nice message.
Yes, thank you, Erin, taking time to do that.
And History Hunk. Left us
no,
a comment.
No, he did not.
He did.
He did not.
He did.
Because that is you.
No, he's history. He's
I know. I left a comment as Bob the History Temp.
Yeah. So, but.
But History Hunk.
History Hunk. This is, was History Hunk.
Is not you.
History Hunk is not me. Okay. We have gone. You can apparently only leave one message or one review.
So. Yeah, but didn't. Didn't Renee leave one?
Yeah, that's what Renee's going to leave about me.
Yeah.
Okay. But we would really appreciate it if any of you listen on iTunes that you leave a real review. A real review, because that's how we that's how people find us on History Dweebs.
And Erin the Queen, I just want to throw this out, because Erin the Queen said, you know, I really like, and this is a coincidence, I really like when he talks about Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And, you know, the debates, if anybody watched the debates, Ted Cruz was talking about the Iran deal.
This is the second GOP debate.
Second Republican debates. And, you know, that I decided on my own not to take part in because I didn't want to be on the stage. I mean, 11
people just.
And you're
not a Republican.
Just,
and you're not invited.
I'm not a Republican.
You wasn't invited.
I'm a Republican.
And you weren't invited.
They're trying to keep me out.
Well, they were pretty successful at that.
But anyway, I you know.
Socialist.
I follow him around on the trail.
I'm communist.
Ted Cruz says
libertarian.
That he is going to, first day in office,
that's
he's going
fine.
To tear up the Iran nuclear deal.
Yeah. Is this going somewhere? Because
it
is. A very long podcast.
Because me and Marco Rubio put him up to saying that. We told him, you know, you don't like this? Just say it was first day in office. Because I don't think Mr. Cruz, Senator Cruz, understands that's not really how things work. See, if I go home and tear up my mortgage.
Well, it's no take backs.
I still have a mortgage.
Yeah,
it's no take
And we
back.
Just said, no, just tear it up.
Okay.
And he's Ted Cruz thinks that you can just tear it up and an agreement doesn't exist.
You didn't really think this one through, did you?
Hey, Jamie's here.
It doesn't.
And we're joined with, we have a live studio audience
of
today.
One.
Jamie, would you like to applaud? Thank you for joining us, Jamie. Young Jamie is sitting in and listening to our podcast. So thank you for joining us. So we have any other thing we need to do? We're ready to go roll.
We got to give a shout out to Dottie Scott.
Okay. Hi, Mom. Okay. And to Casey, Brandy's brother.
Are we still doing that?
Yes. We're still inviting Casey to come in and do a podcast with us. So, but let's move on to Otis Toole and Henry Lee Lucas. Of course, those were are the topic of our podcast today. They're two serial killers from the 1970s and 1980s. Otis Toole's most famous victim is that was a young child named Adam Walsh. And if that name sounds familiar to you, you may be familiar with his father, John Walsh, who was the host of the TV show America's Most Wanted that ran on...
forever.
Yeah, 1988 to 2012. That's a pretty long run.
Yeah.
He became the host of the show after becoming a well-known victim's advocate. He became a victim's advocate after the kidnapping and death of his son Adam. So we're going to talk about that incident, and that'll lead us into our serial killers, Otis Toole and Henry Lee Lucas. Adam Walsh was a young boy. He was on July 27, 1981. He was with his mom at a mall in Hollywood, Florida, which is just right outside of Miami. And his mom was looking at some lamps. And young Adam, who was just, I think he was like 13 at the time. No, I'm sorry, he was like 7 at the time. Was playing on Atari. Remember how they used to set up the Atari stations in the stores?
They still do.
Yeah. Well, Atari?
Not so much Atari.
Okay, Xbox maybe.
Yeah.
But they set the stations up, and kids would, you know, play, you know, while they're waiting on their moms or whatever shop, they would play the games. And young Adam, 7 years old, was in the store, and he was waiting to play on the Atari game. So his mom stepped away to go to look at some lamps, and then when she came back, Adam was gone, and he's never been seen since. What happened in the original investigation, a lot of focus originally was on his father, John Walsh, but the police quickly ruled him out as a suspect, and their leads kind of ran cold. Adam was never found. However, his head was found. He had been decapitated, and... they had no real evidence, no clues as to who committed this crime. But how he ended up out to leaving the store was that him and some other boys were waiting in line to play this Atari game, and some of the kids got impatient. There was a ruckus. And so the store manager came over and ran the kids off. So instead of speaking up, Adam just, he was shy, and they made him leave the store. And when he left the store, he was evidently picked up by this Otis Toole. Now, Toole was never charged with this murder, but he did confess to it. And as well as up to 200 other murders, although they're not sure how many of those were actually committed by Toole or Lucas. But he was he confessed to the murder of young Adam, and the body of young Adam was never found. Like I said, his head was found sometime later in a canal. Some fishermen found it near Hollywood, Florida. But Toole confessed to this crime. And he says he used a machete to decapitate Adam. When he confessed, he said he wanted to make Adam his own son. He had offered Adam some candy and toys to get in the car, Adam did, and as he pulled away, he started to panic, and then he started hitting Adam, and he choked him until he strangled him to death, and then he decapitated Adam to hide it from the police. Tossed the head out into the canal, but like I said, his body has never been found.
And he never really could give a good explanation for where the body was at.
No. And like I said, he recanted this confession. Mm-hmm. He recanted this confession. And they made him and Lucas, we'll get into both of those in a bit, they had confessed to a lot of different crimes in that area.
Freaks.
Yeah, and some of them they had good information about, and if the police think that it was, you know, they were really the perpetrators, but there was other crimes where they felt that they were just making it up. But the Adam Walsh case, the police are pretty confident that O'Toole was involved in that. There was some speculation that Jeffrey Dahmer may have been involved in it. Dahmer had been living in Miami at the time, which is only 20 miles from Hollywood, Florida. And two witnesses placed Dahmer at the shopping mall on the day that Adam was abducted. One of the witnesses claimed to have seen a strange man walking in a toy department store where Adam was. And the other said he saw a young man with blonde hair throw a struggling child into a blue van and take off. Both witnesses.
Nick, I didn't do anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see any research on what they did. But both witnesses recognized the man later on when they saw pictures of Jeffrey Dahmer, and they said when they saw his picture in the newspaper, they said that was the guy they saw.
After he killed all those people?
Yeah.
After the whole thing in wherever, Minnesota?
And Dahmer, Wisconsin. Whatever. And Dahmer, at the time, was working in a delivery shop in the Miami area, and it was a blue van, so he was driving a blue van. But Dahmer denied it. He confessed to a lot of murders, but he denied any involvement in the Adam Walsh murder. He said, quote, "I've told you everything. I've told you how I've killed them. I've cooked them. I ate them. Why wouldn't I tell you if I killed Adam?"
That's a good point.
Yeah, so.
Well, one of the reasons, though, is Dahmer didn't, I don't believe any of Dahmer's victims were children other than the one that.
No, they were just young.
Yeah, they were very young, but they were not children. They were young teenagers.
Yeah, well, John Walsh, the father.
He's got standards.
Of Adam Walsh. He doesn't believe that Dahmer had anything to do with it. And the police that at the time they ruled him out as a suspect. Just kind of interesting that he was in that area at the same time this occurred. Must be a lot of serial killers down there in Florida.
Dude, Florida's a breeding ground.
Yeah. Oh, it's like Washington State.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a serial killer.
Yeah. So anyway, the police finally closed this case in 2008, pretty confident that Toole was the... Yeah, he was the tool. Toole was the killer of young Adam Walsh. When Toole died, and Brandy will get into more on Toole in a minute, but when he died, he made a confession, deathbed confession, to his niece that he, in fact, did, even though he recanted his confession of killing Adam Walsh, that he indeed was the person that kidnapped, decapitated young Adam Walsh. So that is probably the most famous victim of Otis Toole and Henry Lee Lucas, but we'll get into some more. Why, you know what I never did get, Colonel?
What's that, Tim?
Why does deathbed confessions carry any more weight than a regular confession?
Yeah, you know, I never understood that either, because if you're having a halfway decent time on your deathbed, you load it up with drugs.
Yeah. I mean, you could be. You could be under influence of narcotics or whatever, but... It does seem, I never could understand why. I guess you have nothing else to lose. They figure you're going to be honest, but.
But does.
It seems to carry a lot more weight than it should, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily in this case, because I think the guy did it, but I mean, like on some other cases.
Like
where,
people say they're going to get closer to the Lord and they're going to clear the. Well, how are you going to get closer to the Lord there? You killed a little boy.
Maybe once you're confessing, I don't know. I think it's if you're a serial killer and you kill 200 people, it's probably a little bit too late to seek forgiveness. But anyway, let's talk about Otis Tool. Your yes. young Brandy.
Let's talk about Otis. Otis Elwood Tool.
Elwood.
What a great name.
Did he have a brother, Jake?
Yeah, with the Blues Brothers. He was a mission from God. I don't think they were on a mission from God, though.
Okay.
Mission from Satan.
So Otis ended up being convicted of 6 counts of murder. Like his companion, Henry Lee Lucas, which, as we all know, when you have 3 names...
You're a serial killer.
Automatically. Yeah.
I mean, this is the amazing thing about this podcast. We're going to discuss 3 serial killers. Henry Lee Lucas, O'Toole, and we just talked about Jeffrey Dahmer.
I mean, we're amazing.
Yeah, 3 serial killers for the price of 1.
What? The trifecta.
The trifecta, yeah.
We are amazing. Okay. So, Tool made confessions that he later recanted, but resulted in his murder convictions. He received 2 death sentences, but on appeal, they were commuted to life in prison. He died in his cell of cirrhosis.
I bet he took to the drink.
At 49.
The devil juice.
At 49, he died of cirrhosis. Although, Timmy, when he makes notes, can't spell cirrhosis. So it's very stressful for the rest of us.
Look, here's the thing. I am the one who writes the script. Am I not?
That's actually how you spell cirrhosis.
Thank you, Charles.
I don't know that it is.
I believe it is.
And by the way, I do spell check, so.
I don't care what you do. That looks jacked up.
Spell it for the audience.
Well, I can't spell it, but I don't think it's that.
So how do you know that I cannot?
I know great many things.
All right, go ahead.
All right,
back to Henry Tool or
Otis.
Otis Tool. And Otis spells his name. He spells his name Otis.
Like Otis.
I don't think it. I think you know what the problem is? I don't think his parents knew how to spell.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
The spelling of his name was the least of his problems.
Probably right.
So police attributed the murder of Adam Walsh to him based on a recanted statement.
Based on his confession, which he later recanted, right?
Based on the basis of recanted statements.
Yeah.
Okay. Lucas backed Tool's confession to the Walsh murder, claiming that he'd been in possession of the victim's severed head. Which is obviously something that you should brag about.
I think they met on serialkillermatch.com.
I think they did, too.
Quick question.
I don't understand taking a baby's head like that.
Quick question about language. What is the difference between recanting and decanting?
Decanting lets wine breathe.
That's a good question, Charles.
Recanting is take back.
I don't know what canting is.
But you know what? You never get us off track.
Yes, you do. Canting, you know exactly what canting is. Canting is when somebody just goes around all the time going, yeah, I can't do that. Yeah. So that's what canting is.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. It's a very negative individual. So Otis Elwood.
Don't have that can-do attitude.
They really don't.
Can-do attitude.
Otherwise they'd be canning.
Yeah. With a recant.
Yes. Otis Elwood Tool. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, was born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida. Tool's mother was abusive, and
this Tool, is not funny.
It's not. Tool claimed that she would dress him in girls' clothes and call him Susan.
Well, I'd rather. Did she spell Susan right?
Yeah. We got that.
She spelled S-U-S-S-A-N, did she?
Right. Suzanne.
All right.
His father was an alcoholic, and he abandoned the family. Otis claimed that as a young child, he was a victim of sexual assault and incest at the hands of many close relatives and acquaintances, including his older sister and next-door neighbor. Now, here's my question with that. I recognize the fact that there are people that are abused.
Well, I'm glad you recognize that.
Shut up. That are abused, sexually abused, and it's horrible, and it's awful. But have you ever noticed that, you know... Especially with serial killers, it's never like one person. Like, they're so irresistible to everyone as a child.
I think they just live
They live in dysfunctional environments where...
Well, obviously, but how dysfunctional can an environment be if you are abused by every single family member?
If your mom dresses you...
And where are children's services?
Yeah.
If your mom dresses you up,
it's a boy named Sue. It's just trying Johnny Cash song stuff. Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I mean, all these serial killers we do, it's almost always just like repeating the same
and
thing.
I want to be very, very clear that it's not that I'm not taking this topic seriously, because what happened to Adam Walsh was horrible, but I refuse to give respect to the people that do it. So anytime I have a chance to make fun of a serial killer.
Well, and plus you're talking about, I mean, in reality, Florida is the Deep South.
In reality.
It's the Deep South.
You can't get any deeper unless you're in Cuba.
And, you know, he's having incest with his sister, and I don't know that they would call that, I think a lot of times they call that courting down there.
Thursday.
Courting.
Never mind.
But, okay.
Yeah.
People transplant to Florida.
So here we go. This is how jacked up this guy's life, Susan. He claims his life was.
Susan.
Yeah, boy named Sue.
Did he identify as Susan?
No.
Okay. Okay. So we have that his mother dressed him in girl's clothes and called him Susan. His father was an alcoholic that abandoned him. He was molested by many close relatives and acquaintances that included his older sister and a next-door neighbor. He claimed his maternal grandmother was a Satanist who exposed him to various satanic practices and
damn
rituals.
Damn Satanist, man.
This poor son of a bitch had to hate Christmas.
Thanksgiving was a bear.
Let's see. Satanic practices and rituals, including self-mutilation and grave robbing. Mm. And she dubbed him the devil's child.
Yeah, she was right.
Yeah, she was wrong.
Toole claimed this abuse began when he came out as gay to his family. He was often designated as suffering from mild mental retardation.
Why are you laughing at that? That's
IQ
horrible.
75. I'm sorry.
I know he did terrible things, but that does sound like a hellacious.
And he had epilepsy.
Oh, poor guy.
But how much of this is true?
We don't know, because he lies.
That's the thing.
I know. I think epilepsy.
I'm not disputing epilepsy per se. I'm just saying how much of this is true because he lies constantly. He could have been raised in New York.
Yeah,
but
you know when we do, every time we do these serial killers, they always have a screwed up childhood.
They probably, he probably was raised just as normal as anybody else.
Susan, yes.
Yeah, being put in a dress as a child is not really normal, but
that's your problem.
Well, unless you're a girl.
Yeah, unless you're a girl, yeah.
I didn't like it.
Okay. All right, so what else about Otis?
So throughout his childhood, he ran away from home, shocker, and often slept.
Hell, I would have too.
Well, I know. And if all this stuff is true, then this
in my dress. My high heels, I mean. He right down the driveway.
If all this stuff is true.
Very slowly and gingerly away from home, apparently, if every relative
is true,
was
then,
taking a shot at him.
So if all of this is true, then he didn't have a shot in hell.
No.
And the state dropped the ball on rescuing him.
But this was a long time ago, though, that where
wasn't that
didn't
long ago.
Have,
well, 60s, right?
No, 70s.
No, when was he born? When was Otis born?
I don't have that information, and I don't know why.
Discuss.
Okay, so he ran away from home. He was a serial arsonist from a young age and was sexually aroused by fire.
Don't say not bad.
Who don't like a good fire?
Toole claimed he was forced to have sex with a friend of his father's when he was 5. He felt he knew he was gay when he was 10 and claimed to have had a sexual relationship with a neighborhood boy when he was 12. He dropped out of school in the 9th grade and began visiting gay bars.
Toole was born in 1947.
Yeah, so about 12.
Oh,
that's
so
59.
He was old.
So, yeah. Yeah, you don't have social services.
Oh, well, I thought that he was. Well, yeah, you did. But
yeah, but they try to cover it up. Yeah.
But anyway.
Plus, if you was poor, nobody cared about you, really.
So, but here's
like
my
they
question.
Do now. Nobody cares
like
what you
do
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but here's my question. So he dropped out of school and began visiting gay bars. Was that in lieu of school he began visiting gay bars?
Maybe a break.
Yeah. Let's see. He also claimed to have been a male prostitute as a teenager, and he became obsessed with gay pornography. The Colonel has that problem.
Oh, he does. He's looking it's at ridiculous. His phone. He's on his phone right
not,
now.
It's ridiculous.
Do not sully.
He's on
Toole,
the phone.
Do not sully gay porn. Toole claimed to have committed his first murder at age 14 when, after being propositioned for sex by a traveling salesman, Tool ran over the salesman in his own car.
I'm so glad they don't have him fucking traveling salesman anymore. Because
I know. See, I missed the traveling
salesman. You missed the jokes.
But I like the, I also like the Jehovah's Witnesses showing up at my door on Saturday, too.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell them where you live and they'll show up
after that? Oh, they know. They come over my house every other Saturday.
I know. In 1976, Tool met Henry Lee Lucas at a Jacksonville soup kitchen, and they
soon... Oh, they didn't meet on serialkiller.com.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
And they soon developed
a soup kitchen.
They soon developed a sexual relationship.
They were lovers.
They were lovers. That's where I go to pick up all my lovers. It's the soup kitchen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the bar ain't that high.
Yeah. Tool later claimed to have accompanied Lucas in 108 murders. I caught what you said, smartass. On January 4th, 1982, Tool barricaded 64-year-old George Sonnenberg in a boarding house where he was living in Jacksonville and set the house on fire. Sonnenberg died a week later of injuries he sustained in the fire. In April of 1983, Tool was arrested for an unrelated arson incident in Jacksonville. For that crime, he was sentenced to 20 years in prison.
Do you think he pleasured himself when he set these fires?
Oh,
you
he was he standing did. Across the street.
Across the street? He was probably, like, really close.
He might have been close, but...
Let's see. While in custody, Tool confessed to killing George Sonnenberg. He signed a confessing stating that he and Sonnenberg had begun a sexual relationship.
They were lovers.
They were lovers. Because evidently this guy is just irresistible. I mean, just caution to the wind.
He's just a horn dog.
Caution to the wind, irresistible.
You think it was, they got caught up in the passion and then set the house on fire?
I hope he was having responsible sex.
This guy is getting more ass in a McDonald's toilet seat. That's what's going on.
Somebody's getting
him.
His.
Whatever.
We don't know. We don't know. So, we don't know what his preferences are, other than that he will sleep with apparently anyone, and he meets at a soup kitchen or elsewhere.
Well, but anybody will sleep with him.
Yeah, he's irresistible.
He is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they began the sexual relationship.
And if you've seen his picture, you know he's irresistible.
Well, obviously, the two had an argument, and Tool lit Sonnenberg's home on fire.
You don't fuck with him, man.
Yeah, he's going to light your shit on fire. 2 months later in June, his accomplice, Henry Lee Lucas, was arrested for unlawful possession of a firearm. It was then that Lucas began boasting about the murderous rampage orchestrated by the two. At first, Tool had denied involvement, but later began backing up Lucas's confession. Lucas also backed Tool's confession about the murder of young Adam Walsh. Others cast doubt on these claims. Journalist Hugh Ainsworth and others investigated for articles that appeared in the Dallas Times-Herald.
See, you know what? Something that I forgot to mention, Brandy, in the Adam Walsh case, is when the cops pulled him over. I don't know if you may get to this, and I'm just stealing your thunder. But they lost his car. They had clothing in the car. They lost all that evidence. Yeah, I don't know. How do you lose a car?
I don't know.
They really bumbled
the first thing he said was, I didn't kill Adam Walsh.
Yeah.
Who's Adam Walsh?
Yeah. I didn't kill him. Wasn't me. Nothing about that.
Wasn't me.
Yeah, and they said, sir, we just stopped you because your taillight's out.
Yeah. Good, because it wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Let's see. It was calculated that Lucas would have had to use his 13-year-old Ford station wagon to cover 11,000 miles in 1 month to have committed the crimes police attributed to him.
Yeah, they were saying he killed people all over the place.
No. Lucas became widely regarded as a compliant interviewee who was used by police to clear up unsolved murders that he had not been involved in, aided by Tool giving false statements in collaboration. During Tool's trial for murdering George Sonnenberg, Tool claimed that he did not light the home on fire and only signed the confession so he would be extradited back to Jacksonville.
Well, that's a way to get a vacation.
Well, sure. On April 28th of 1984, a jury found Tool guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced him to death. Later that year, Tool was found guilty of the February 1983 strangulation murder of a 19-year-old Tallahassee, Florida woman and received a second death sentence. On appeal, however, both sentences were commuted to life in prison. After his incarceration, Tool pled guilty to 4 more Jacksonville murders in 1991 and served 4 more life sentences. On October 21st, 1983, while in prison for two unrelated murders, Toole confessed to the 1981 murder of 6-year-old Adam Walsh. A few weeks after Toole made the confession, however, police investigating the case announced that they had lost Toole's impounded car and machete. It's just gone.
Yeah, his car. I can see losing a machete, but you lose the car and a machete?
You know what, though? Here's the thing.
It's on eBay, I bet. eBay.
It's on what?
eBay.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. That you have to know, first of all, that is going to be a huge case. It's going to get a lot of publicity. It's going to get... Really? You lost it? Like...
Well, they didn't have any ties to him when they first pulled him over. They didn't know that he was...
Then why did they have his shit?
Well, I agree. I think it's a shame that they lost that evidence.
Sidebar, if you pull over a car, even if it's for a taillight, and you look in the back and there's a machete.
And it has free candy painted on the side.
It has free candy.
I don't think it had that. What?
But it has a machete in there.
Right.
What... How do you not question that?
He's preparing for the zombie apocalypse. I got a machete in my car.
We're all preparing for the zombie
apocalypse. But where is... I mean, the thing... Where did it go?
Well, someone had it go, but how does this... How does that not raise somebody's antenna that there's a machete in the back of this car?
Apparently in Florida, it's pretty common to have a machete in your car.
Well, it might be because they have a lot of weeds and snakes and crazy shit that goes on. They got critters.
Serial killers.
John Walsh, Adam's father, continued to maintain that he believed Toole to be guilty. The police did not reveal any new physical evidence and pointed out that they still had no DNA evidence because you lost the fragging car.
And the machete.
Toole confessed on that same day he ambushed and killed 46-year-old Joanna Holter in her home while she was attending to groceries with the same machete which he used to decapitate Adam Walsh.
So there's two murders that they could have had evidence.
Because they lost the car.
And the machete.
Well, the machete's in the car, so if you lose the car, it makes sense that one would follow the other.
No, maybe they took the machete out of the car and they lost them both separately.
They couldn't put together that maybe this machete was something that they shouldn't have had. Anywho.
Yeah.
In 1984, Toole confessed to two unsolved Northwest Florida slayings, say one of the I-10 murders. What?
Yeah,
including one of the I-10 murders. During an interview, he admitted to killing 18-year-old David Shallart, a hitchhiker he picked up east of Pensacola. Shallart's body, bearing 5 gunshot wounds to the left side of his head, was found on February 6, 1980. Toole would later recant his confession of Adam Walsh without any physical evidence. The prosecution was unable to move forward with the charges. On September 15th, in 1996, at the age of 49, Otis Toole died in a Florida state prison of cirrhosis. As his body went unclaimed, he was buried in the Florida State Prison Cemetery. In 2008, 27 years after the 1981 murder of Adam Walsh, authorities officially named Toole as the likely killer. That brings us to Henry Lee Lucas.
Well, Henry Lee Lucas was just as strange. And they have a few things in common here. Here's one thing. Now, Henry, his mama was a whore.
That's a terrible thing to say.
No, she was a whore, and she used to make him watch her have sex with clients.
That kind of reminds me of Mary Bell, the child murderer. Her mother did the same thing.
She also used to dress him as a girl.
Did she call him Susan?
Dressed him up. She didn't have a name for him, just Henry, the Ugly Henry Lee in that dress.
Ugly Henry in the dress.
And
doesn't have a ring to it at all.
Henry liked to have sex with dead animals. He liked to have sex with his half-brother. Now, they must have gotten to a little spat because when Henry was 10, his half-brother...
You mean like his brother that is related to him through one of his parents?
One of his parents, but they lived together.
I mean, you're not like half, like he didn't cut
it. Henry, his dad was alcoholic, his mom was alcoholic.
And everybody wanted
Henry,
I've seen a pattern here. They both dressed him up as
boys. Now he's having sex with his half brother, but something goes wrong there.
The brother something goes wrong
in that relationship because the half brother stabbed him in the eye, and Henry ended up with one glass eye. So this this googly eye he got and his cross dressing, it caused what Henry described as mass social rejection.
And I can see that.
Something you probably understand, Devil.
Yeah.
Mass social rejection.
I watch you go through it all the time. It makes me sad.
That was good. That is good.
So,
makes me sad.
And somebody else later described him as a child who would often get attention by frighteningly strange behavior.
He probably popped his glass eye out a lot.
He did. And he probably didn't have a good glass eye where it would just roll out.
No, it was probably oblong or whatever.
I had...
Keeping an eye out for him.
Well, you know, I was when I was a kid.
Nope.
I got a job.
This didn't happen.
No, this actually did happen.
I can already tell you this didn't.
I got a job. My brother-in-law's company. The first day, he introduces me to a guy named Russ. Old guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tells me to go meet him back in the shed.
Not Russ. Friggin' Russ.
And Russ introduces himself, goes to shake my hand, and on my mama's grave.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Russ's eye fell out and hit the damn table.
I hate when that happens.
I wasn't the colonel then, but the colonel damn near wet himself and passed out. I'd never seen a man's eye fall out before. He just picked it up, spit on it to get it wet again, popped it right back in.
What else are
you supposed to do with it? Can't put it in there.
Dry. I mean, I've seen some, things before, but that's the craziest damn thing.
At the 10 county fairs, I ain't seen nothing like that.
No, I ain't never seen like that. Now, so anyway, we got the whore mama.
I mean, I would wear a patch, because then you're like a pirate.
Yeah, but it messes up your depth perception. If you got the glass eye.
It messes up when your eye falls out, too.
Well, it does, too, yeah.
Just saying.
Henry's dad. Now, Henry's dad was an interesting guy, too, because somehow he got his legs severed off in a damn railroad accident.
Well, yeah,
and
that's
this
hilarious.
Is what I always want to know.
Because he was gandy dancing.
Was he a gandy dancer?
And again, I don't want to get back to a job I had, but the colonel, when he was first starting out, coming up, first got married, one of my first jobs was repossessing cars. And I've been looking
for a car.
You're
a repo man.
I was a repo man. I was looking for a car for a long time. And I remember because this happened on my birthday.
Did you happen to take Otis's old car?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not.
Is that where it is?
Because it's gone.
I was looking for a car, and I finally got a hold of the guy's parents. And they said, "Sir, I do not know where his car is, but he is deceased." And he was a young man. And I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that. If you don't mind me asking, how did it happen?"
She don't mind me asking, where's the car, though?
And
where's the body?
I did find a car finally, but I asked, "How did this happen, ma'am?" And she said, "Well, him and his best friend got hit by a train walking on the tracks coming home drunk." Now,
you'll have that.
I had to put the phone down. I was laughing so damn hard, because the only thing that could pop into my head is, how in the hell do you not hear a train? You know, I mean, you get drunk walking out into an intersection, a car hits you, but a train you can hear from like 2 miles away, and you stay on the track vibrating and everything else, and you just stand and walking along.
Well, Stand By Me.
He was responsible for not drinking and driving.
Well, true, but I mean, you're walking on the train tracks.
He couldn't drive his car around because the Chuck might see it.
That's true. People would do that. They would switch cars with the cousins and everything else. But anyway.
Henry Lee Lucas.
So he loses his legs in a railroad accident.
Was he a gandy dancer?
Not after that. And he ended up dying of hypothermia after coming home drunk. And collapsing out.
Snippy down there.
No, Henry Lucas was born in Virginia.
Oh, okay. Wait.
So his father ends up coming home drunk, no legs. I guess he's, I don't know what the hell he's
is
doing.
Is he like one of those
carts or something?
One of those little skateboards.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, little dollies, I guess. I don't know what the hell
he rolled home drunk. He didn't just come home, he rolled home.
So
he used to sell pencils when I was a kid. You know, guys with no legs, they would sit on the corner in his little, skateboard, basically, yeah. What it was.
Like Eddie Murphy in Trading Places.
Yeah.
I have no legs.
So anyway, he collapsed outside during a blizzard and died of hypothermia.
Listen to him laughing.
So, well, I mean, you got no, I mean.
Well, what are you expecting to walk home?
I mean. Somebody could have given him the poor bastard a ride. I don't
know. You know what? I bet he was a dick and nobody wanted to give him a ride.
And you know it's hard. It's got to be harder now. You got one of those carts and you got a blizzard. How are you going to get along?
Well, you start sliding.
You put skis on the bottom of that thing?
Well, no. You know what happens is you try to... I think he might have rolled and then just made himself into a snowman. You know how that happens?
They didn't find him
until
the fall.
They didn't find him until the fall. Yeah, so the fall.
Yeah,
so anyway, Henry's up into sixth grade now, and he runs away from home, and he starts drifting around Virginia.
So he hightailed it out of there, too.
Yeah, and he committed his first murder in 1951 when he strangled a 17-year-old girl named Laura Burnsley, who had refused his sexual advances. Now, he later retracted that claim. Then Henry... He made his living, really, by breaking into houses and things like that, and he got caught. Got sentenced to 4 years in prison in 1954. In 1957, with only a year left, and less than that, really, with good behavior, because he'd not gotten into any trouble, the dumbass escaped from prison. I mean, he's done 3 years. Right. He's got like a month left. He escaped. So they catch him. He does 3 more years in prison.
That's sort of like Les Miserables.
Yeah, so he...
Is he Jean Valjean?
He's like Jean Valjean.
He was free for 3 days. There wasn't no murdering or looting or anything, pillaging going on in those 3 days. But they caught him and he got out in 1959. So he decided to go live in Tecumseh, Michigan with his half-sister, Opal.
And a half-brother, a half-sister.
Half-brother, half-sister. Now, he was not having sex with Opal.
How do we know that?
Are you sure? Did she go after him? Because that seems
he said
matter.
He was doing it, but he recanted.
I can't imagine that he would not be telling the truth about that.
Now, this is something you'd understand, Timmy.
Yes.
You'd be really careful.
He, around this time, he got engaged to marry a pen pal with whom he had corresponded while incarcerated.
Yeah, you would understand.
Now, you know, back in the day, they did not have the Facebook and the Twitter
Jail
and
babes.
Everything else. So you had to have pen pals.
All right.
And there's a lot of women... And a lot of men who like prison. I mean, me myself, I wouldn't mind a wife that was in prison. I knew where she was all the time. She couldn't tell me what to do. I'd be able, you know what I mean?
You know what? In many ways, your wife is in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but a prison without walls.
Yeah.
No, because she's the warden of the prison. I'm in the prison. Mm. So anyway.
Perspective.
This gets interesting right here because this is where Henry crosses.
Finally.
This is where Henry crosses a line.
All right, what does he do? Have sex with his half-sister?
No.
With her skull.
His mother is not pleased at all that he's...
Sleeping with his half-sister?
She believes that...
There's a lot of that.
She believes that...
But his half-brother isn't very pleased either.
Oh, I bet not.
Continue, Colonel.
That's his tale.
Oh, did you want me to continue?
Please.
Okay. The mother was very upset because she did not feel that this woman, who was a pen pal, was good enough for her son.
She didn't think her half-daughter was good enough for her son?
No, the pen pal.
No, the pen pal.
I think she was jealous.
The pen pal was good enough for her son.
I think she's jealous.
Well, she probably wasn't.
Well, she wanted Henry to live in Michigan and take care of her because she was becoming sickly. And he did not want to do that.
So they argued. Oh, the mom. Okay, so the mom, she's a jealous mother-in-law type. Because she doesn't want Henry to leave her. She wants Henry to stay with her.
Stay with her. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So the way Henry solves this.
Kill his mom.
He stabbed his mama in the neck.
Never knew it.
Yeah. Now
problem solved.
He later claimed that she hit him in the head with a broom and it was self-defense.
Fell on the knife.
She didn't die. He said, all I remember, this is his story, all I remember was slapping her alongside the neck. Well, he didn't mention he had a knife in his hand when he slapped her.
Accidents do happen.
But after, I was making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But
at least he wasn't using a machete.
He didn't have it. The police lost it. But after that, I did Now, I saw her fall and decided to grab her. But she fell to the floor when I went to pick her up. I realized she was dead. Then I noticed
on the floor several
that I had my knife in my hand. She'd been cut. So, but she actually wasn't dead. It wasn't until Opal came back home and she discovered her mother alive in a pool of blood. They called an ambulance. Mama has a heart attack. But Henry...
She had a heart attack?
Yeah, Henry, the mama has a heart attack, died on the way to the hospital. So
she did die.
Yeah.
Why are you lying?
What the hell are you talking about? So when she came home, she wasn't dead. On the way to the hospital, she died. So now, what we got here with Henry is a guy who mama a whore, daddy ain't got no legs, died in a blizzard, likes to bang dead possums, and his half-brothers.
What?
Only got one eye.
He banged animals.
He banged dead animals killed his mama.
They don't squirm as much.
They really don't. They don't scratch.
Yeah, they don't. Well, they don't complain. But now,
yeah, Henry, he's a screwed up puppy.
Henry got the hell out of Michigan, took off for Virginia. Then he says he's decided to drive back to Michigan, but actually got arrested in Ohio on an outstanding Michigan warrant. Now, he claimed it was self-defense with his mama, but they rejected it. And he was sentenced to 20 to 40 years in prison for second-degree murder. But he only served 10, and he was released in June 1970. Now, in 70, so for a year, maybe he's clean. And in 71, he tries to kidnap three schoolgirls. So he gets 5 years for that.
How do you even get 5 years for attempting kidnapping?
Well, after all this record, you got, geez.
Yeah, how did he get out and...
Why didn't they throw the whole library at his ass? Not
hey,
the book.
Little girl. You want some candy?
Well, that's pretty much what he would... No, he tried to do it at gunpoint. So he...
Sick.
You know, you get more flies with honey.
Well, when he... So he's serving a five-year sentence, gets another pen pal. It's a family friend and a single mother. Now, they get married and he... When he gets released in 1975, he only did 4 years for this. But he left 2 years later because his stepdaughter said that Henry was sexually abusing her.
And bastard.
Yeah, so he starts bouncing around between different relatives. He's in West Virginia. He's all over. And
you know, I don't think I'd put him up for a night, do you?
Well, no, he gets another girlfriend and has to get kicked out because he starts trying to molest her daughter.
Oh.
So then he runs into Tool here, and they hook up with, there was three of them actually for a while.
They become lovers.
It was a schoolgirl niece named Frida Becky Powell, and she had some intellectual impairment. So they were finally...
Is that like she was stupid? Is that what you're saying?
She was mildly retarded.
Okay.
So she was... and if you see pictures of her, she was actually a pretty girl. So now they're a little bit stable. Henry gets a job as a roofer. He's fixing roofers, cars, scavenging, scrap, whatever. You know, he ain't... Now, Powell, she ended up getting put in a shelter by the authorities after her mother and grandmother died. But Lucas... convinced her to just sneak out of there, and they lived on the road. Eventually, they traveled to California, where they got a job, and the employer's wife asked them to work for the infirm mother of the 82-year-old lady named Kate Rich of Ringgold, Texas. So there in California, they get a job down in Texas taking care of this 82-year-old lady. Now, but the Rich family... They kick Lucas and Becky Powell out. They've separated from Tool at this time, accusing them of failing to do their jobs and writing checks on their account. So now they're hitchhiking, and they pick up this minister. They get picked up by a minister. I'm sorry. It's a Texas religious commune called the House of Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this minister believes that Lucas and Powell are married. So he finds Lucas a job as a roofer. And he lets a couple stay in an apartment on the commune.
Now, bad move.
Yeah. Now, Powell had started to become problematic because she became argumentative, which, you know, she's a woman, so that's what they're going to do.
So she started having thoughts of her own.
Well, no, I mean, the girl could have lived in a mansion, she could have been eating, Henry could have been feeding her grapes, she'd still become argumentative because she's a woman.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's homesick for Florida.
I don't know what you're saying.
And Lucas says, well, just that's how women is. They complain.
What are you saying? I mean, like, women are argumentative. How are you going to say that about women all the time? You just say that we argue constantly.
It's like my friend Donald Trump said.
And you know what? We can't argue alone. You have to argue with us. Otherwise, we're just talking to ourselves.
You see, I think she just proved my point for me, didn't she, Timmy?
Jackass.
I think so, yeah.
So, anyway. What you don't want to do is be with Henry Lucas and become argumentative.
I don't think you want to be with him in any.
So she leaves him. Henry says he left her at a truck stop down in Bowie, Texas, but he actually killed her. So he confessed to that, and he also killed the rich lady. That's her name, Rich, who he was taking care of. Now, he led the police to the remains of Powell and Rich, although the forensic evidence didn't really prove anything. Now, Lucas is a prime suspect in the killing of Rich. Because Lucas, here's what happens. He denied involvement. He confessed, denies involvement. But he led him to the bodies.
Yeah, you know? So how do you know where the bodies are?
Well, it was a lucky guess.
And this is where it starts to get weird. I mean, again. It
starts to get weird.
Yeah. I mean, he's already banged chickens and whatever, but dressed in dresses. I wonder when he banged a roadkill, if he was wearing a dress or wearing man's clothes.
Did he bang roadkill?
Well, I wonder if he was wearing protection.
I would hope so. Especially if he banged.
Well, you don't want to get one of them.
You're down in Texas. You got an armadillo down there.
Yeah, you get feathers stuck to you. It's gross.
Porcupine.
How do you know that?
Wild guess.
I have concerns.
So now he runs into a Texas Ranger. He's arrested on a charge of unlawful possession of a firearm by a Texas Ranger. These guys you don't want to mess with. Phil Ryan.
Walker? Was it Walker, Texas Ranger?
Baseball players?
What's that?
Was he a baseball player?
He was a pitcher for the Texas Rangers, Phil Ryan. He was Nolan Ryan's son.
It's not true.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
See, you can't use humor with the colonel because then he just takes it and runs with it.
Too far.
I'm just trying to get to a very interesting part of this.
God, I wish.
We've been waiting.
Well, if you would remain and let me finish my part here. See, listeners, this is what's happening. They're mad because I get the positive reviews on the iTunes.
We're mad because this podcast is going into our Friday evening. We started
at
noon.
But then let me finish without interrupting me.
Yeah, we have spent a lot of time waiting on you today.
Well, you know.
What do you think about the first female referee in NFL?
Well, I just hope she doesn't get hurt.
Nobody cares what you think about it. I just hope she doesn't get hurt.
That's what I really think, too.
All right, get back to the story.
I believe very soon, in the next 5 years or so, we're going to see the first female playing in the NFL, and it's going to be a kicker.
Okay.
Anyway.
Freaking nose.
So anyway, he's arrested by this Texas Ranger. Now, Lucas says he was treated pretty roughly. He got bullied by inmates. He tried to kill himself. He claimed police stripped him naked and denied him cigarettes and bedding.
Did they try and sleep with him, too?
I don't know if they did or not.
Poor baby.
I'm not really sure where I was on this point. Where was I now?
Don't look at us. Well, we're trying to have been figuring out where you were in the last hour.
I'm trying to hold a thought and keep a coherent story together. But
I know it's hard without your medication.
This is where, after 4 days, Lucas confessed to the murder of Rich. In the confession, investigators had good reason to believe it was real. So in addition to that, he confessed to killing Powell. Now, he starts confessing to a bunch of unsolved cases.
So, like the Kennedy assassination and shit?
Just everything. The Lindbergh baby. He had all kinds of shit in there.
And he somehow convinces Tool to do the same thing. They think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Do we know what he finds out? For what happened?
They met at a soup kitchen.
Oh, that's right. They did meet at a soup kitchen and became lovers.
You read that.
You know what? I'm high right now. You just got to leave me alone.
All right.
Now, some people thought that, now this Ryan, he thought that Lucas was confessing to many of these crimes to get out of his cell and improve his living conditions.
Well, that'll do it.
And they did treat a bunch of these things as genuine. So now he gets transferred to just a jail in Williamson County, Texas. And in interviews with the Rangers and other law enforcement...
You know, if you're going to confess to murders, if you're going to falsely confess to murders... Don't falsely confess to murders that occurred in Texas.
No, because you're screwed.
Yeah, because you're going to get the juice there. Yeah. So anyway, it was thought that there was a lot of corroboration in his confessions with 28 unsolved murders. So they create this Lucas Task Force, and really, what this Lucas Task Force becomes. Is a way for detectives to clear up every unsolved case they have.
Yeah, they get it right.
And blame it on him. And they suspect, and they said they have done, was letting Henry look at case files. And then Henry would have information that only the killer would have.
And then
he'd be interviewed. And then everybody wins. I mean, at one point, the Rangers, he confessed to killing somebody that was a man that was supposed to have been a suicide. The insurance wasn't paying the lady, you know, the wife. And he confessed, then the insurance paid. The Rangers go out and have a party at a Holiday Inn, cost the state of Texas $3,000. They had prostitutes, hookers, and everything else there.
Dang it. All the perks.
Yeah, this Ryan's starting to get aggravated because he believes that really Henry's just calling the shots.
He's making stuff up.
And Henry later on says, you know, in one instance he explained how he correctly identified a victim in a group photograph through her spectacles. A pair of spectacles were on her table in a crime scene photo showed to him earlier. Henry had just like a tool.
What's the difference between spectacles and glasses?
It depends. It really depends. Spectacles are thin, wiry. If they're just the real tiny thin ones, they call them spectacles.
I thought it was if they didn't have arms, they just sat on your nose. Those were spectacles. No. But if they had the arms on them, then they were glasses.
No.
All right, continue with Henry Lee Lucas. This is fascinating conversation, but...
Yeah. So anyway, So now you're starting to get people investigating this Lucas Task Force, the investigators. And now...
people are questioning his veracity.
Well, because at this point, he's up to over 200 killings.
Yeah.
And there becomes a point where Henry starts to say he killed 3,000 people, which he would have had to kill a person every single day... Like every day he was out free, and I mean, these bodies just didn't show up. So, Henry, and throughout this, you know, they think that while he was confessing to this, you know, he was just taken from police station to police station. They didn't think he was the threat anymore.
He was getting out of his cell.
Yeah, he was getting out of his cell. He wasn't handcuffed.
He's in for life anyway, so.
Yeah, he even knew in different jails or police stations codes for the security doors.
Oh,
geez. So, I mean, so he's living pretty good as long as he...
Keeps confessing.
And if you remember Ted Bundy, when he was about to get put to death in Florida the first time, he confessed to some others and offered to show him where the bodies were. And in doing so, what it did is it just stretched out and, you know, they... delayed the execution because these people, you know, they have children that are victims and they want some closure.
Sure, and you don't want to execute someone if you can clear up, you know, have all these unsolved murders that you can clear up. And obviously, you know, it was possible that some of them were committed by Henry Lee Lucas.
Yeah, and he ends up. And like I said, when they investigate this task force, the most serious allegation they had against them was that they let him read case files on unsolved crimes, and then he'd be able to come up with a pretty convincing
case. But again, is this him saying that? Because, you know, the question is honesty at this point.
Well, yeah, you got to you got to question anybody's honesty that kills their mama.
But they also, this was said by other police, that they had seen this occur.
Mm-hmm.
So it really just discredited everything that he said. So now they did convict him of 11 homicides.
I think he said that they thought he was really responsible for about 40.
They think he was probably responsible for about 40 homicides. And one, oddly, was a girl that they never could figure out who she was. She was just called Orange Socks, and her body was found on Halloween 1979. And he was convicted of this, even though a date on a timesheet showed that he was at work in Jacksonville, Florida at that time. And, this girl was killed on Halloween in Texas. He's in Jacksonville, Florida, and he got convicted. So he was given death, the death sentence, for one. And in 1998, he was commuted to life. The sentence was commuted to life in prison by Governor George W. Bush.
Why did he commute it, you know?
Primarily,
Because of intellectual limitations?
I don't think it was that, because Texas did not typically care. No. You know, we tried to stay away from getting political, but when we had with Illinois, Amnesty International went in there, about the death penalty, and they showed the flaws.
And they put a
Went to Texas, and Texas has the worst system in the world when you have capital cases. In a capital case where the death penalty is on the table, Texas, the judge who's going to hear the thing,
mm-hmm.
unless you have your own, unless you got the money to pay for your lawyer,
mm-hmm.
the judge is the one who assigns a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to make a lot of money. You know you're going to get paid for a long time by getting one of these cases. So what you don't want to do is be in there talking off judges.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you know what I mean? It's a very, very bad system. Amnesty International showed George Bush that two people on death row could not have been, they proved by DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did release these people, and they asked Bush, could you put a stay on all executions for 6 months and let us study, let us look, let us say, make recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Bush refused to even talk to him.
Good.
Good? Mm-hmm. What do you mean good? He had people that was on death row that they proved was innocent. Texas has truly the worst death penalty system in the entire country.
They have a drive-thru.
Huh?
They have a drive-thru.
Yeah. I mean,
pro-death penalty. I think it takes too long anyway.
Well, they believe that maybe up to 20% of the people in Texas on death row might not be guilty of a crime.
So anyway,
his sentence is commuted
to life.
To life. He is about 64 years old. On March 2001, they find him dead in his prison from heart failure. He's buried at Captain Joe Bird Cemetery in Huntsville, Texas. It's an unmarked grave because people were vandalizing it. And, his credibility was not great. He initially said he killed 60, then he raised it to 100, then to 3,000. Then he was just going crazy. But they believe that they think it's roughly around 40, and a lot of people think that 40 is even high.
Yeah.
But Henry wanted to be known, and he's kind of a cult figure because with this number of 3,000, with this number of 100, there's so many, you get on Netflix, you could find four different things on, movies made about Henry Lee Lucas.
And, well, he's striving to be the best.
But they're all misleading, so,
because he's making up half of it.
Yeah, it's like
if you kill 40 people, that should be enough to make you proud. You shouldn't have to embellish that.
Well, you should feel like you've done a good day's work.
Yeah.
But it's like the dating game guy. Yeah. He killed far more people.
Rodney Acala.
He killed a lot more people than Henry Lee. Mm-hmm. He's smarter, better looking. I mean, if I'm going to pick a serial killer, it's going to be him. Yeah. Henry Lee, he was semi-literate.
Yeah.
And like to bang dead animals. That's, you know, the colonel got
and
lines.
He had an illicit relationship with young Mr. Tool.
He liked Tool's Tool.
He did like Tool's Tool.
Evidently everybody did.
So well, yeah, Tool. So two pretty sick individuals, Otis Tool, the serial killer who police believe is responsible for the death of young Adam Walsh and many others, and Henry Lee Lucas, who the police are suspect of killing at least 40 people and maybe many, many more.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sick.
Yeah.
It's any final thoughts, Colonel, on Henry?
No, I mean, he's a, like I said, he's kind of a cult figure. Now, there's something I'd be very remiss mention this.
Yes. We will call you Susan.
Hopefully we have her.
Let's put him in the dress and call him Susan.
Hopefully we have young Brittany back soon to do
a guest spot on
a podcast. Now, Brittany currently is on step 10 of the 12-step program. I'm not really sure what step that is.
I don't know what program that is.
It's the 12-step program.
Which one?
Huh?
Which one?
Well, I'd be violating HIPAA and everything else if I told you that the girl had a drinking problem. Yeah. But young Brittany had a birthday.
Yes, she did. Actually, today is young Brittany's birthday.
Today is young Brittany's birthday. And young Brittany is still very, very young Brittany.
She is.
It's going to be quite a while before she is called anything but young Brittany.
We'll be dead.
Yes, we probably will.
You as well.
So we just want to give a quick shout out and say happy birthday to young Brittany. We miss you here. We're
looking forward to your return to the podcast.
We absolutely are.
And your sobriety.
We hope you complete your 12-step program. You know you don't remember what happened when you drink the tequila, so, you know, stay off of it, girl.
Yeah, because, you know, I have a feeling we're going to all get group texts tonight about 4 in the morning from Brittany.
Brittany likes to give us, keep us
abreast.
Brittany likes to make sure that we're not worried about her on Friday night.
Yeah.
By telling us where she's at and what she's doing.
But it's always at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Which only makes us worry about young Brittany's doing.
So. I'm in Chicago and I'm drunk.
Yeah, exactly. The girl will text
at
you.
At some festival.
Yeah. She texts you from Florida. Then she texts you from Chicago. The one common denominator is she's always drunk.
Yeah. She seems to find alcohol wherever she travels.
Yeah, the girl,
which is concerning since she's in a 12-step program.
If she was marooned on a desert, if she was on Gilligan's Island, she'd have a bucket full of rum all the time.
She'd have some hooch.
Yeah, she would have some hooch.
Brandy, any final thoughts on Henry Lee Lucas, Lou, or Mr. Tool?
No.
Otis.
No.
I think his parents stuttered. Do you think that was how?
I think that whole thing was just fucked up, and he was a huge liar.
Susan was easier to pronounce, I guess.
Well, you know, some people just don't know how to spell.
Colonel, where can people find us?
Well, they can find us any number of places, really. The first place, the easiest place to find us, and if you really like history and you're kind of a history junkie,
then you should not listen to us.
The best place to find us is on our Facebook page because the content is much richer.
Superior,
yeah. And that is, the devil doesn't have a hand in that. So you can find us on History Dweebs at Facebook. Look up History Dweebs. You can find us on Stitcher, but hell, nobody can ever find you on Stitcher. And you can find us on iTunes. And if you find us on iTunes, leave a review. Leave a review for us. If it's a, even if it's something you don't like. Now, if it's something where you're just being an asshole and saying, oh, these guys suck. Well,
no,
then
we're like,
probably going to hack your account. Your credit card's going to get charged.
That's not
up.
True.
You're going to show up at the bank.
We appreciate any feedback.
We don't appreciate feedback from people who are just being assholes.
We get it from you.
Yes. We appreciate you, Colonel.
True. No, you don't appreciate. I don't believe you appreciate.
You're just being an asshole most of the time.
And the Colonel, his contract is up for renegotiation. So we will be doing a podcast here soon.
And you should hear, well, Timmy's going to have to make it rain to keep the colonel. That's all I'm saying.
We were hoping that we didn't hear from Brandy yesterday, and we were hoping that she disappeared so we could do a podcast around that. And
yeah.
It would,
on her disappearance.
Yeah. That's so hurtful.
But he showed up.
Yeah, she did. She ruined it by showing up.
Yeah, so yeah, one time you can contribute to this podcast.
Wasn't nobody knew where Brandy was in
middle of the day.
She was, and actually she was at, and unfortunately this is radio, so you cannot see me doing air quotes. She was at a meeting.
She was at lunch.
At lunch.
It wasn't allegedly lunch. It was actually lunch.
Well, okay, but. But the air quotes still remain. Mm. I stand by my air quotes.
Okay, so check us out on Twitter. I mean, not Twitter, because we're not there. Check us out on Facebook at History Dweebs. Check us out on our website at historydweebs.com or on iTunes.
iTunes. And please, for the love of God, say something nice about one of these two. They starting to get like little... You know how you got, if you got brothers and sisters, then it's always pretty clear which one the mama and dad like the most. They're kind of like the two brothers and sisters that the parents don't like as much as me. And they're starting to turn the hostility outward. You know, usually the devil keeps her, well, no, she's been sending it outward forever.
Because you're Eddie Flippin' Haskell. Everything is, you're such an asshat and you get all of these accolades. And it's just ridiculous.
Well, I think he should wear a dress and we call him Susan at the next
point. I think I'm just going to call him Susan for fun.
I don't know. I don't think you can handle me in a dress. I got very nice calves.
Thank you, everyone, and join us next time on History Dweebs.
Bye.
Bye-bye.